Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at being imitators of God. Everybody there? Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read verse 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And the word followers is a Greek word, mimetos, which, you know, we get the word mimic from, and it means an imitator. It's the noun. The verb means to follow, to mimic or imitate in a good sense. In the dictionary, of an imitator or to imitate means to do or try to do after the manner of, or follow the example of, or copy in action. So here it says that we are to be followers of God as dear children. You know, children will usually imitate their parents in a lot of things, like boys will imitate their fathers. You know, I remember when I was a kid and I'd put shaving cream on and pretend to be shaving, or you know, little girls will put on high heels and lipstick and, you know, play with dolls and all that kind of stuff. But they're imitating their parents, right? Another thing is, when I was a boy, my first love was baseball, and it was the Brooklyn Dodgers, way back in antiquity. But I knew every player on the team, and I would imitate their idiosyncrasies, their traits, their batting stances. I knew each one and how they stood at the plate and hit the ball, how they stood there and swung. I mean, it was in my brain. I could remember, I could do it today, even though it was, I don't know, 60 years ago, longer than that. You know, it's just, I had favorite players and I studied them and I imitated them and tried to do everything they did. So, but how do we imitate God? You know, that's a great question. Well, let's go to Matthew 5. Jesus Christ, at the Sermon on the Mount, was teaching, and of course, he's speaking to Israel, people who didn't have spirit, right? But he instructed them, and it starts in chapter 5, verse 43. It says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." So, you know, here in verse 44, he says, you know, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. That is certainly counterintuitive, right? It goes against the grain. It's the opposite of what the world teaches, right? The world teaches what goes around comes around, you know, you'll get yours in the end, you know, and, you know, things like that. And that's not what Jesus Christ is saying. He's saying, love them that curse you and, you know, all that stuff. Love your enemies, bless them, do good to them, pray for them. What an interesting thing. And then he goes on to describe that you may be children of your Father. Now, they couldn't be children in the sense that we understood it, could they? But they could be children in the sense of they would live a godly life. You know, that they could manifest some of the traits or attributes of God. Because then he goes on to say that God makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and descendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, and we know that in other places in the Word, it talks about how God is no respecter of persons, is he? So He's telling them this. And he says, verse 46, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? You know, the guys, the tax collectors, those rotten guys that do things. He said, you know, it's no big deal to love people that love you. That's easy, right?
Right.
And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others do even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And the word perfect means to be mature. It's the word teleos. Teleos means to reach the end or be complete, wanting of nothing, mature. This implies growth into maturity of godliness, not sinlessness, but godliness, you know, living a godly life. Now we're all going to sin. I read a great quote the other day by, of all people, Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt said, they tell you that no person is perfect. Then they tell you that practice makes perfect. They should make up their mind. That was pretty hilarious. Who thought he was a philosopher? But perfect means to be mature in godliness here. You know, he's speaking to people, they really couldn't receive the deep spiritual things, but he's pointing out the things that they should be able to understand and know. My thing is a little screwy here. Okay. So we know about God. And we know about God first from the Word of God, right? We know things that the Word of God tells us. And what he tells us about himself is what we know. He uses words that we can understand and references that we can relate to. So when it talks about he bears his mighty arm or he has compassion, those are all human attributes, right? Now, God's not a human. So when it talks about the wrath of God was kindled, you know, or his anger was fierce, you know, God's a spirit. He doesn't really get angry, but it shows his displeasure towards something, right? Because he's perfect. He's love. He's just, he's merciful, he's all those things. And these attributes and characteristics that he tells us about help us to comprehend what God is like. let's go to Philippians chapter 3. So this word imitate is used a number of places. And it kind of tells us how we are to be, how we imitate. So the way we can imitate God is exactly what Jesus Christ said. You know, we love, we bless, we're kind towards everyone. In chapter 3, verse 15 of Philippians, Paul speaking, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, same word, teleos, mature, be thus minded. Thus minded means, you know, thinking godly thoughts, the word, thinking about the right things. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. You know, Michelle prayed about how God works in us individually. And he does, and he cares for us individually. But he has called us to a body of Christ. And so when we're thinking the same thing, when we're thinking the word, when we're thinking in terms of what God has called us to, there's a lot of harmony. There's a lot of working together. There's a lot of great things that happen within that body of Christ. You know, you go back in Acts and you look and you see how when bad things happened, the believers came together and prayed and they saw great results. They saw miracles and signs. They saw great things happen. So he says, you know, mind or think about the same things. The word mind means think or thinking. Then it says in verse 17, brethren, be followers. And that word followers, again, is the word imitators. And he says here, be followers together of me. And here it's the word sum mimetos, meaning together, right? Followers, imitators together. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And he said, you know, you look towards the people and you see great people who are examples of believing God. And we are to imitate them, you know. Now, everybody, nobody's a perfect example other than Jesus Christ, right? But we do, you know, sometimes we see people and they're great examples of believing. Or they just, you know, in certain areas, they have a great walk, you know, and we all have different abilities and we all have different strengths, but we can learn from each other and emulate each other in different ways. And we see how, you know, so God is giving. So to imitate God, we should be giving, right? And we see people around us that are giving, and so on. So, brethren, be followers together, imitators together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have an example. And to walk here means, this is really cool, it means to march or advance. As soldiers walk or advance in an order with orderly conduct. How about that? Pretty wild. So we're to walk that way. We're to conduct our lives to God bless you. That was great. Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. That was for emphasis.
What did you say?
First Thessalonians chapter 1. So Paul was out there and he, you know, you read the book of Acts and you see how he lived his life and his example. And then he wrote to those believers, he said, follow us. And it was not just him, but it was the guys he was with, Timothy and Silas and other guys, and that they should imitate, you know, how they lived their lives as far as God was concerned and the word of God was concerned. In chapter 1 of Thessalonians, verse 5, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. He's writing to the Thessalonians. He said, you saw our lives. You saw how we lived. You know, our lives were an open book. And you could see what we did. We weren't deceitful. We didn't trick you. We didn't lie, but we were hardworking. We were honest. And you saw the power of God being exercised in our lives, being manifested. So then he goes on, and ye became followers, imitators of us. And they imitated Paul and Timothy and Silvanus or Silas and those guys. He said, you became followers, imitators of us and of the Lord, referring to Jesus Christ, right? You know, and we read the Gospels and we see how Jesus Christ lived his life. And he said, you know, I always do the will of the Father. My desire is always to do what he wants me to do. I always speak the things that he wants me to speak. So be followers of us. And of the Lord Jesus Christ, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that ye were, and he's commending these people because what did they do? They were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So then they became examples. They became the examples. That word examples is the word typos, meaning a type. You know, they were that example. What a great thing. So they imitated Paul, and then they became examples to others so that they could imitate them also. What a cool thing that was. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Oops. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11.
Now, of course, Hebrews is written to Hebrews. That's where it gets its name. But it's written to Hebrews, and it's written, and there's three classes of Hebrews, and it addresses all three. It addresses Hebrews that were believers, and it explains, you know, their past and Jesus Christ and the fulfilling of the prophecies. It's speaking to Jews that became Christians but had turned back to Judaism, trying to get them back on the right path. And it's speaking to Hebrews who didn't get born again, and it shows them that Jesus Christ was that promised Messiah and the benefit of believing in him. So in chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith are believing and patience inherit the promises." So he's saying, you know, here, look at this. We're encouraging you here that you don't be lazy, but you be imitators of them who through believing and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." So the one of the guys he's setting out there as an example that they should look at, who believed God and had patience, was Abraham, right? What a great example to imitate. You know, Abraham, you know, got promises from God. We have promises from God, and he held fast to them. And they didn't just happen, you know. He prayed, you know, and the next day, you know, he waited sometimes years and years. He just didn't quit. He stuck to it. What a great example. And it says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." You know, and if we patiently endure, we receive the promises. Let's go to chapter 13. There's a section in Romans 4 where it talks about Abraham and following him or imitating him, but I didn't put that down. Anyway, 13, verse 7. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose believing follow," and the word follow is imitate, "considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." So imitate them in that they look to Jesus Christ, and he's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. We imitate God, how? By doing his word, following the example of believing of men and women who were given to us for an example, by the way they live according to the word of God and how they believed God. And we take those attributes of God and we put them in our hearts, and then we become examples to others. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Again, Jesus Christ teaching, similar to chapter 5 of Matthew, where we started, or almost started. But this is not the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Sermon on the Plain. Okay? And if you go back and read, you'll see where it says Jesus Christ was on the plain. Sometimes people confuse it because they're very similar. And in verse 31, it says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." That's verse 31, chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, and verse 31. Sorry, Bill. Maybe I wasn't clear. Okay. Either way, we'll get there. It says, Jesus Christ speaking, he says, "As ye would that men should do to you, do you also likewise to them likewise." In other words, do unto your neighbor as you would have them do unto you, right? That was the second commandment to the first and great commandment. So he's just telling them that there. And then in verse 32, it says, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend them to whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. So, you know, he's saying, you know, give. Give without expecting to get anything back. But love your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. For it be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. See, that's another attribute of God, right? He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He's a just God. So when we're merciful, you know, we're imitating God. And merciful means what? To have compassion on people and give them help in time of need. And then it says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and that, you know, that doesn't really have to us. But, you know, it says to be merciful, even as he is merciful. That's what we are to be. That's how we become imitators of God. We try to imitate those attributes of God, and we live his word, because God is his word, right? And let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins. You know, when they girded up the loins, they had a thing that they wrapped around their midsection. You know, if you ever go to Home Depot, one of those places, and the guys that move the stock around, they wear this belt, and it protects their innards, you know, so they don't get hernias and stuff. And, you know, so that's what it means, but it says of your mind, right? It's making an analogy there. You gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, you know, have a sound mind, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation or the appearing of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And that's a quote from the Old Testament, from Leviticus 19:2. And, you know, God called Israel out, and he asked them to be holy because he was holy. You know, God has made us holy when we got born again. He put his Holy Spirit within us. And all he tells us is renew your mind, and we're to be imitators of God. So to be holy means we're separated. We're sanctified from the world. We're not, you know, we're in the world, but we're not part of the world. You know, and as we imitate God, we live above the world. We live on a different plane. We have a different standard. We have a different standard for honesty. We have a different standard for loving. We have a different standard for being merciful and kind, because God's standard is the standard. You know, they always talk about the gold standard of stuff. Well, we don't have the gold standard. We have the God standard, right? So we're to be imitators of God. So Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that you've given us such great examples in your word and of how we can be like you, because you are our Father. And we thank you, God, that we can be children that you're proud of, and that we do our best to imitate you, just like little kids do of their mother and father. We just thank you, God, that we can do that, and we can live a different lifestyle. We can live a godly way, and that we can always be imitators of you and the great men that you've given us an example of. So we just thank you for this in the great and wonderful name of the greatest example you've ever set before us, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.